If you've been paying attention, I've been going through loving God with all your heart. That's what we talked about. And we fasted that week when I talked about loving God with all your heart. How was the fast, by the way? Great. Now, some of you, I said, why is he asking that question? I forgot to fast. I'm asking to remind you that you need to fast. Amen. That is not a guilt story. That is a truth story. Amen. Remember we talked about truth. You got to get that in context when we ask these questions. So yeah, you fast for your heart to soften. You fast for yourself to engage with God. And then we talked last week about making sure that you deal with your soul. And that is where most hearts are reside. That our souls are very much held back because there's a lot of scars in your soul, and you got to deal with that. And that one way to deal with that was to be vulnerable and lay bare your soul so that God would deal with that. But also to understand that if you don't get your scars in front of the Word of God, you never get to heal. It's a story that you struggle with and holds you back. So I want to make sure that as we go forward, that you're bringing your stories, bringing your heart and everything out to the Word of God and to people that can help you so that you can heal. Today, though, I move on to our last part of this aspect of being led, loving God with all your heart and strength. So the first part of the message today is the mind and strength. So the first part today will be the mind and the second. To do that, you need to be led by the Spirit. When we talk about loving God with all your mind, it's not that you're just thinking about God. No, you are letting your mind to be influenced by the Spirit. It's not just the idea of, in my mind, yes, I think about God. There are many people that think about God. Is he even there? But are they influenced by the Spirit? That's another question. So it's not good enough to say that, yeah, I love God with all my heart, mind, and strength. But are you influenced by the Spirit in your mindset? Is this microphone on? Okay, we're good. In that case, then you have to ask this question again and again. Yes, I think about God, but how much do I allow the Spirit to lead me? In other words, how much do I say, because the Bible says it, and I've been praying about it, and God is leading me that direction, I need to submit to that path. Does that make sense? That is then loving God with all your mind. So here in loving God with all your mind, in Romans 12, verse 2 talks about, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. You know how that is easy, how to copy other people. It's so easy. That's how fashion is done and other things. You can copy that very easy. And let's face it, with the world of internet, it's easy to comment on every little thing that comes on your Instagram, on your Facebook, and all the other channels, Twitter, and you start saying things just because a guy said something. You follow that? Without thinking, is this a godly time for me to be putting into this? Honestly, we need to take time and evaluate how we comment things and whether we're being led by the Spirit or it's just knee-jerk reaction. We're just reacting to something that we see and we got to put our voice to it. So don't copy the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think is vital in hearing God. And the family group leaders have read this book. We're talking about outward mindset. It's very easy to be in a mindset of blaming people and never seeing how you're contributing to that and never seeing how God is calling you to be different. And so this morning, I want to ask you, have you taken time to think about your mindset? Because you want a new, different way of thinking in 2019. You have to change the way you think. And I'm not talking about just cliche way of thinking. You really have to examine, am I vulnerable and led by God, Or am I simply a blamer, an angry person, and held back because of my mindset? In many ways, your mindset will either hold you down or raise you to the next level that God wants you to go. Same problem, same people, same environment. The only thing that changes the place is the mindset. You don't deal with the mindset, you stay in the same place. And I think as we've read that book with the family group leaders, one thing has become very clear is that it's very easy to take ourselves out of the equation and think that it's everybody else's issues. I never realized that we are the part of the equation. And if we just change that, everything will be different. Change the way you think, then you will learn to know how God's will for you. In other words, when you start changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Too many people say, how do I know God's will? I say, you submit to His will. Then you ask yourself, I've read the scripture. Is this what it says? I want to submit to His will. And as you do that, He begins to make your path clear. Many people have never known God's will for their lives because even though they understand it, they've never submitted to that teaching. Very different story when you submit to it. It's one thing to understand. It's another thing to submit to it. It's one thing to understand that you need to stop at a stop sign in your neighborhood. That's one thing. It's another thing to come in the neighborhood and stop at that place. And people ask you, who stops at the neighborhood? You got to be on the road sometimes. It's very different. You understand that? When you start to apply yourself to the Word of God mentally, it also affects your emotions. So the heart begins to be pulled in, and it works a different way. So when we are saying loving God with all your mind, it's not that you just think about it. It's that you actually let the Spirit lead you to being influenced by what the Bible says. Not just agreeing with it, being influenced by it. Then your mind begins to be transformed. So let's do something I've introduced in my message. I call this one the reality check segment. We have 168 hours in a week. That's what you have, and you and I have 168 hours in a week. I have put, if you are sleeping in a week, if you're spending 56 hours sleeping, how much is that in a night? Eight hours, right? Now, this crew here may not be sleeping 8 hours. And this crew over here may not be sleeping 8 hours. They may be doing 4 or 2 hours, but we got to figure out what's going on over there. We got to help you guys to come to 8 hours. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that's 8 hours in sleep, right? And my point is, that's a lot of time if you think about it, right? But you know, your sleep is where your body's repairing and all that stuff comes into place. If you're working 56 hours in a week, how many is that? Let's say if you're doing that in 5 days, how many hours is that? 11.2. We have a mathematician going on over here. 11.1, 11.2 going on over there. Does that make sense? If you're doing that in six, it'll go down a little bit. Now, this 56 hours is spare time. Whatever things you want to do. My point, though, is how many hours do you come to church? Four. Yeah, we have four. In a week, it's about four, right? Maybe two on midweek and two on Sunday. Now, question. Is 4 hours out of 168 too much to do? This is a reality check. If you have 168 hours in a week and you're giving God 4 hours, is that too much to do? You see, when I put that up, I was putting that up to check your mindset. Because for some of us, men, church is too much. I'm like, no. Let me give you the facts. 168 hours in a week. You're sleeping around about 56. I said this crew doesn't sleep that long. But I work about another 56, and you only come to church 4 hours a week. Is that too much? It's mindset. It's how you think about church. It's the problem. That is the problem we have. It's become, oh, I don't get anything, so I don't want to come. We've stopped to give ourselves to God, and God must be given to us now. And we get it all wrong. So we're missing midweeks. We're missing all kind of things. It's the mindset. We've not put down things correctly and thought, wait a minute. If this is what God, if it was a tithe, what is 10% of 168? 16 hours, right? Well, now nobody's talking clearly. I need a mathematician. I need a mathematician. How many is that? 16.8. Now we're talking. 16.8. Well, I mean, how many times, how long do you pray? How long? Now, I'm not trying to narrow you guys to percentages. I'm just trying to help you see that if you think of it like this, you give God very little time of your time. If you really examine how you're giving your time to God, you realize you're not really giving as much as you think you are. You're barely scratching it. It's your mindset. And we like to say, oh, I don't have time. Oh, no, 168, you got that. I sat down and I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, multiply that for a year. And then ask yourself how you're spending your time. You'll wake up and realize time is flying away. Yeah. It's not that hard to spend time with God when you think of it like this. About 30 minutes a day, an hour a day, and coming to church in a week like that, why would I have an issue with that? And I have 168 hours just to myself. There are no issues. That's a reality check. Just in case you've been telling yourself in your mind, all that. No. Look at the facts. This is what they are. And you realize you need to repent instead of coming and doing what you need to do. Amen? Moving on. Set your mind on things above. We're still talking about the mind here. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. It says here, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. You know, sometimes all we do is see our environment, our small environment, our kitchen, our sitting room, our car. We don't see things beyond us. It says, set your minds on things above. You see, if you don't set your mind on things above, these small things will trip you around. You will stumble all the time. But if you raise your above, it says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts in above on things above and where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. I believe that one of the biggest challenges we face is that we've never let our minds be captured with God. So because of that, our minds are captured with earthly things. Let me tell you something. If you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. You don't lose anything by giving yourself to God. You actually don't. He'll give you everything else. That is a promise in Matthew 6, 33, 34. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. To do that, you have to die to this earthly nature of being tempted to think that you're losing out on God. Oh no, God will give you that if you give him first priority. Does that make sense? But when you lower your standards to lower things, then you drop further. And God cannot give you the things you're trying to get. So I say that because I think in our mindset, we think that giving God time is a waste of time. I do think that some people think that. Teens, let's talk about a little bit. Let me talk to the teens a little bit. Sometimes you're here and you're talking to one another, and I'm thinking, it's only an hour you're going to be here. You got to focus and say, wait a minute. What is God's will for me? And start asking that question, because time is fleeting. You'll wake up one day and you're 70. Yeah, and you keep saying, I'll make my decisions when the time is right. I'm telling you, you'll wake up one day and you're 70. It's just the other day I was 10 years old. I can remember that vividly. Now, for lack of a better term, my plane is looking at a place to land. I can see the landing coming up and say, we got to start planning for that landing. It's coming. I'm no longer trying to keep up the height. I'm saying, okay, landing is coming somewhere. So I want to put that to you because sometimes we sit around and think, wait a minute. I have time, and you are just caught up in phones and small petty stuff. Phones will be phones. They change every month, every week, and every year. They make a different things. And really, you're a slave and captured with that stuff. In fact, for some of us, we've given our lives to algorithms more than we've given to Jesus. You have this thing, you Google, and they keep bringing the same things to you. And you forget. Those are not realities. That's a world, a virtual world. It's not a factual world. So we're not giving our minds to God. And we think that because people take pictures, they're vlogging and saying, oh man, I must be looking good. That must be the way to live. That is a make-believe story. The fact is you got to work, go to work, raise money. It's a hard deal. Change your mindset and you'll come around this differently. You'll begin to see, wait a minute, am I raising my eyes above all things? One of the reasons we're very insecure is because we compare ourselves with people. And the worst thing is that that's what internet sometimes can do for us. You just live in a comparison world. You're never yourself. You've never found God for you. You're always caught in the crosswinds of this looks this looks that, and never, what is God saying to me? And that's how we lose our mindset. So raise your mind and set your mind on things above. Amen? To do that, reset. You need to hit the reset button consistently, every day. You need to do that well. I think that many of us are not doing that pretty good. You're not resetting these buttons. You're just, you know, you're in the movement of going from Monday to Monday. You're never resetting the button. When you reset the button, you need to keep, sit down and be quiet and read and pray and ask yourself some questions. How did I spend this week? Was I focused on God? Where was my mind this week? Because your mind is very much a captain as well. It leads where you're going. If it goes one way, that's where you go. So let's read about this. And I have the Message version just to explain what I want to explain. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. If you're obsessed with yourself, that's a dead end story. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into spacious, free life. Have you ever been on a flight for 15 hours? In that, you can't wait to put that plane down. I need to get out. That's the way I feel. Nowadays, I'm afraid of anything more than 5 hours. I'm like, can I just drive there? I don't want to be going that long. You've been in a plane 15 hours. You can't wait to just put it down. I need to get out and run. Just get some fresh air. That's for me. Some of you like being in the sky anyway. But my point is that you want to get back to the fresh air. The dry air of the plane now is too much. Your ears are clogging. You're not hearing things properly. You want to get out. That if you focus on God, you're going to get out into open space, free life. Focusing on the self is an opposite of focusing on God. Tell me something. If you took the 168 hours I gave you earlier, how much do you focus on God and how much do you focus on self? You know, sometimes we think too much about ourselves and never let God help us out. So we're anxious because we're focused on ourselves. And it leads eventually to depression and other things. But if we just took our issues to God and resolved it with God, it will give us freedom away from that issues that control us. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God. That is the world for us today. It's just totally ignored God. It's totally absorbed with themselves. They talk about themselves all the time. We hardly hear about God. Church, you know, it's possible that you don't tell anyone about God because you're so concerned about how they will see you. That's also self-focus. It's also possible that you don't serve at all because you're so concerned, what if I fail? That is also self-focus. You know, it's possible that you hold in so much sin that it's just killing you because you won't get any help. Why? Because how will I look? That is also self-focus. All that stuff is self-focus. It doesn't help us to grow.
And that is, it says, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores God, and what is he doing? In Romans 8, the same scripture in NLT version. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting your spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. We've got to let the spirit control our mind. But you cannot do that if you've never memorized a scripture. Yeah, you've got to memorize scripture. Because you will need it. When you're anxious, what scripture do you go to? Philippians 4? That's a good one, right? What about Philippians 4:8? What does it say? Whatever is, you don't have to get it right. You can paraphrase it. Yeah, you see, we get caught up in, is it right in the first place? No, get the word with you. You don't have to get it entirely correct, but get it soaking in your body. Does that make sense? So we just need to get there. We need to really memorize scripture to get know what's going on. Otherwise, we get confused easily. When people insult you on the road, what scripture do you go to? When they make ungodly signs, what do you go to? Out of the overflow of the heart, he spoke. Well, that's one, but there's a bigger one. That's one, but there's a bigger one. In Peter, forgive us, God forgives. And when people insulted him, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Do you understand that? You have to look up these scriptures. Otherwise, each time people do things, they trigger your mind and your mind goes and you have no way to bring it back to God. Each time something is done, your mind goes and you have no way to bring it back to God. Because then you have no safety net. You just let the mind go and you never let the word of God influence you and say, wait a minute, I cannot go there. I'll entrust myself to the one who judges justly. Forgive as they are forgiven. You know, if you don't use those scriptures, you cannot survive the rigors and you will not be resetting the button. You need to hit that button each time you're being reeled off. It says, reset and come back to Jesus. Reset and come back to God. Reset. Otherwise, each time people say things to you, you're going to be a wreck and people are going to say all kinds of things to you. Your boss will say things to you on Tuesday. You get on the road today and somebody may do something for you today. You've got to come back to God. And the Bible is clear here. We cannot be obsessed with ourselves. Focus on God. The reason our faith struggles so much is because life is happening, but we don't know how to reset that to God. And we don't know how to reset that to God because we haven't applied our minds to Scripture. Not just agreeing with it. Applied ourselves to Scripture and gotten convicted to that. Amen? Romans 8, 12, 14. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You really do have no obligation to do that. You will be tempted. Everyone will be tempted. But you have no obligation. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Spiritual death. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Spiritual living is real and it makes you feel different about life. When you're not allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit, there is like a choking effect to your life. If you know the scripture that talks about the seeds, one seed that is growing, one seed falls to the road and it doesn't grow anywhere, another one to the rock and no roots, the other one that falls in the weeds and begins to get choked. You can have a choking effect of life. You're barely managing. You're just choking. And you're very unhappy for the most part. And then you tell yourself, if only these things went away. No, if only the word of God had power over your mind, you'd succeed. It's amazing. It's amazing how God can transform that. Where are you failing? It's because you're not putting your mind to God. I'd like to challenge us today to really know the Word of God and apply it in our lives. Amen? Let's move away from the mind and talk about the strength. This will be good for the young fellas. So love God with all your strength. So love the Lord God with all your passion. That's the message version. And prayer and intelligence and energy. That puts you, immerse yourself, your passion. I mean, Super Bowl is coming to Atlanta. I'm sure that's a big story going on. People are talking about that. You know, there's all kind of things. When you talk about sports, it's amazing how people come alive. And by the way, you need to like sports. It's a good thing. Just in case you thought he doesn't like sports. It's a good thing. It depends on which one. It's I'm okay with either. Does that make sense? I think that I enjoy to see the hearts of people come out in art or any other things. You see things and you're like, wow, that's amazing. But Mark 12:30, NLT says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Have you ever thought about the energy you bring to the room? Have you ever thought about that? What is the energy you bring to the room? Do you take energy out or do you bring energy? Have you ever thought about how you live your life? In your homes, do you bring energy or do you take it out? Are people, man, happy that you're there? You are a good environment. You bring godly environment in the home. Oh man, you come into the house and we need Tylenol. What kind of energy are you bringing? It saddens me when I see Christians who are almost giving up totally. And I said, but God, this God that created the universe is on your side. And then we always ask, if he's on my side, why doesn't he take the problem away? Oh no, the problem is there to forge you into a soul that depends on him. It's not to be taken away. So that's what he talks about. Give God all your strength. Love him with all your strength. Let's talk about that in a descriptive way. Description of loving God with all your strength. 1 Peter 4:10 to 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. That each one of us have a gift, can we use that to serve others? I have another question. When is the last time you served somebody else? You said, I'm going to visit, I'm going to take food, I'm going to just see them, I'm going to say hello to them, you can serve people even here without going anywhere. Does that make sense? I'm going to have a conversation, I'm going to encourage them. When is the last time you said that? If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. God has provided you with strength. How's that going? Let me talk to the young guys. Sometimes your mom or your dad or whoever you live with says, can you clean the table? Can you wash the dishes? How long does that take? And sometimes we're so sluggish around it. You're like, oh man, it's going to take forever. No strength in that stuff, do we? It shows where you are with that stuff. But let me talk to the adults as well. How are you using your strength? We can be so passionate about everything else, but when it comes to church, we want to do bare minimum. Almost I showed my face and I'm out. We don't want to talk to anyone. We don't say hello to anyone. We just talk to the same circles all the time. We don't know how to say, hey, how are you? New face, how are you doing? Good to see you. We hardly get to that space. We're very conservative when it comes to our energy. It's just it's too much. 4 hours to come to church. Can't be too much, guys. Out of 168 hours? It can be. How is your strength? So that in all things God may be praised. We're doing it for God, not for us. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. You know, one of the things that is becoming clear to me is that there are things my mind says I can do. But my body keeps saying, you got to be slow down as you're trying to take this stuff. You know, I was talking to Melvin this morning and he asked me, I can feel like you're a bit rusty. I said, yeah, I was up a bit early today. I was up about 4 o'clock. And I said, I used to do that and be fine the whole day. Now I get all kind of reactions to the body. And so I have to be careful how I'm doing these things. But I still have energy to do certain things. So I want to say this, if you are an older person, you should not feel guilty for not being able to do certain things. God has given you wisdom, and you have the energy to position yourself so that God can use you, amen? We need people to mentor young single men or to mentor young campus students. You can volunteer for that, and that can be something that you do. But because you experience, don't feel guilty that you cannot keep up with the same energy. But you have the experience to find a niche of what you can do. Don't feel guilty because you cannot keep up with all these young fellas. That's not a problem. God has given you what you can do. Let's use that energy to glorify God, and God's name will be glorified. Amen? Let's finish here. So clean house. If we're going to bring energy and mind, clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. When you taste God, that stuff is not good to talk about. You get rid of that stuff very quickly. That's message. But the 1 Peter 2 says, so get rid of all this evil behavior. Be done with all deceit. You got to get rid of stuff that is getting, the sins that get in the way of your mind. The deceits, the lies you tell yourself, hypocrisy, jealous, and unkind speech. Get rid of that. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out to this nourishment. Like newborn babies. I mean, have you seen a young baby crying out for milk? You can't stop them because they don't understand what you're saying. You can talk all you want. They're only one day old. They need that milk. They need that milk to grow. They will cry until they get the milk. We need to be passionate about God's word. Bring our mind, bring our energy. God bless you.